Welcome, our curious listeners, to another episode in our new bonus series, A Little Curious. A Little Curious will automatically populate in your show feed in the weeks in between our normal episodes this season, and we'll provide you with short and sweet bonus content all about the unexpected, the slightly odd, and the strangely wonderful in art history. If you're a regular listener to Art Curious, then you've heard me thank our production partner, Kabunki, for making each of our episodes sound so incredible. They've been with us since the beginning, and now they're here for you too. Need production and editing help for your own podcast? Sure. Full service video for your film or marketing project? You bet. How about original content for your website or campaign? No sweat. Kabunki does it all for video, audio, or whatever your medium. Their award-winning team has the tools and talent to elevate everything you do. Get to know our friends at Kabunki like we do and tell them Art Curious sent you. Visit kabunki.com. That's KABONKI.com. Kabunki, a silly name, but superb content. This week's topic, the Pope's secret sexy toilet. And yes, you heard that right. A few years ago, I came across an article on Slate that mentioned something very bizarre. The presence in the Vatican of a somewhat pornographic bathroom, one that has been off-limits to the casual visitor for centuries. The writer, Tony Perrottet, described the place which I had never even heard of, never even knew existed. But what was just as interesting to me was not only the existence of this bathroom and its titillating contents, but who actually painted it. And it's a familiar name, not some random artist. The secret papal porno potty was painted by none other than Raffaello Sanzio D'Urbino, or Raphael. We've discussed Raphael before on this podcast, in episode 33, all about his rivalry with Michelangelo, while the two of them were creating indelible projects under the purview of Pope Julius II. But we've never seen Raphael like this before. Because instead of painting heavenly scenes of St. Peter, or of those adorable little chubby cherubs who you've seen propped up on a cloud and gazing dreamily, here, Raphael painted something a little more earthly. It's the profane versus the sacred.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
So, how did this erotic bathroom come about, and what is it actually like? It all comes down to one man, a man named Bernardo Divisi, who is most commonly known today as Cardinal Bibbiena, being a cardinal of the Catholic Church from the town of Bibbiena, Italy. Cardinal Bibbiena was great friends with Giovanni de' Medici, who later came to power at the Vatican as Pope Leo X. Now, being such good friends with Pope has its benefits, including being able to have your own grand apartments in the Vatican itself, and being able to decorate them up in the finest way possible and in whatever manner you choose. And here's the thing about Bibbiena. As Tony Perrottet notes, he, like many other Vatican officials, including popes like Leo X and Julius II, were more interested in things like art and literature, and indeed the world, than living a godly life. In Bibbiena, it manifested especially in his interest in writing. And what he liked to write best were plays. Risque, sexy plays. Of course, he, like many others during the Renaissance and far after, liked to dress things up in a little veil of history. And in Bibbiena's case, this took the form of a fascination with paganism, which was super trendy at the time, as contemporary archaeological digs in and around Rome were suddenly revealing these ancient scenes of nymphs and satyrs and all manners of lusty gods and goddesses. All things classical was hot, and in more ways than one. Bibiana, already being interested in anything sexy, just had to get in on this classical craze. How best to show your fascination with a subject, as well as your own knowledge of trends and the amount of money you have, than to get into interior decoration? That is where our pal Raphael comes into play. Cardinal Bibiana had this little bathroom in his Vatican apartments that he wanted to have done up in the au courant classical thing, and Raphael, conveniently, was already working at the Vatican. As we discussed in episode 33, he was creating a number of murals for Pope Julius II's papal apartments, so Bibiana grabbed him for a little side project, the most personal space of his private chambers. The room, which is today known as the Stufetta della Bibiana, which roughly translates to the small heated room of Cardinal Bibiana, is about 8 feet wide and 16 feet tall, so it has this big vaulted ceiling. And Bibiana asked Raphael to go in there and fill the space, just cover it, with naked figures inspired by classical antiquity. The space is generally closed off to the public, for reasons about to be made very obvious, so I'm going to have to rely on Paratet's reporting of those details here. Paratet writes that Raphael basically designed his bathroom frescoes like a graphic novel, so panel by panel, where he recounts the various racy adventures of Venus, the goddess of love, and Cupid, the god of erotic desire. Leering satyrs abound, cavorting with supple nymphs. Venus herself is naturally the glorious star of the show, and one panel presents her preening and admiring herself in a mirror, while another shows her lounging between Adonis's legs. The implications are clear. They're gonna be getting busy. And quick. For all we know, Raphael's next painted panels probably showed their subsequent actions and in all their detail, but as one might expect, Cardinal Bibiana's successors weren't as accepting or admiring of his design choices. Much of the Stufetta has been destroyed over the centuries in an attempt to censor some of the most graphic and outlandish scenes. We only know what a couple of these scenes are because early admirers and visitors to the bathroom recorded their observations. For example, one image, now totally gone, shows a very terrible scene of sexual violence where Vulcan, the god of fire and Venus's husband, attempts to rape Minerva, the goddess of wisdom. A high point of Paratet's narrative of his visit to the Stufetta is his recounting of his own embarrassment upon having to ask his escort, a priest, to step aside so that he could properly see one of the examples of censorship gone awry in the most notorious surviving panel of Raphael's doing. In one scene, the satyr-like god Pan, himself a mischief maker and the true inspiration for the phrase "randy old goat," is shown jumping out of the bushes with a very noticeable appendage. Let's just say that it's rather and largely apparent that he was very excited by whatever was going on in those bushes with him. Of course, this kind of image was appalling to those who later inherited Bibiana's bathroom as their own, and so someone, who knows who, was basically called in to scratch away the offending body part and fill in the gap with plain white paint. But the effort to censor it in this manner backfired, and it just draws more light to what we all know is there. Instead of hiding it, it becomes a bigger highlight. Eventually, the most drastic censorship was undertaken. The room was completely painted over, totally whitewashed, and at one point even transformed into a kitchen, of all things. The original frescoes were rediscovered in the mid-19th century and were eventually restored, but even so, the incongruence of the erotic art in the midst of the Vatican, the epicenter of Catholic holiness, meant that the room was effectively shut off to all but the very, very few. Even now, it's a feat to have a visitor's request accepted. But for me, just the knowledge that this space, that this weird artwork exists, created by a famous artist for a cardinal of a church and within the Vatican walls, that is plenty enough to keep me fascinated. For more stories of the unexpected, the slightly odd, and the strangely wonderful in art history, subscribe now to the Art Curious podcast on the podcatcher of your choice, or download and listen in on our website, artcuriouspodcast.com. I hope that this episode today has made you a little curious.